Saul was rightfully blown away. The pallor in his face had gone. He was trembling, no doubt. The others saw the stuff, but they didn't get the impact of it on this road to Damascus. But King Agrippa, I'm telling you, he commissioned me. Now look at our text in Acts 26. Arise, verse 16, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ are called to serve and witness, just as Saul was.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series from the book of Acts. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, Paul Before Agrippa. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
If you're here as a secularist and you think, I think I'll be, if there is a God, I've been sincere in my beliefs and if you're here as a secularist or a religionist, I'm sincere in my faith. I've hung on to my religion. But if you're thinking, because you're sincere in your faith system or your belief system, you'll be okay because after all, as long as you're sincere, you are sincerely wrong. And it's very possible to be. How many times have you been sincerely wrong in your life in other matters? I didn't know. I thought, yeah, you thought wrong. And on big issues, you get advice, don't you? And counsel. Because you realize, even in what we call the big issues of life, sincerity can lead you astray. And the scripture is clear on this. So Paul was sincerely wrong. And notice just the scene here as he tells about his zeal. He tried, look at verse 11. He tried to get them to blaspheme. He drug them out of their homes. He beat them. He cast his vote to murder them. He tried to get them to blaspheme, but the implication is he couldn't. And I've got to think, and it's a bit of a speculation on my part, but when he stood there and watched Stephen stoned to death saying, Father, forgive them. And when he could not force them to blaspheme, young Saul, breathing threats and murder, the very air he breathed was murderous. Yet, he was being convicted. He was being convicted. Verse 12. While thus engaged, as I was journeying to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all around me and those who were journeying with me. When we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I'll say, he was blown away. Who are you? Jesus, whom you are persecuting? The shock of this. We use the word conversion rightly. Jesus, in fact, as Scott was praying as we stood up here, I was thinking of Jesus' words, unless you're converted, unless you turn like a child, you will not be saved, Matthew 18:3. Conversion is a complete turnaround, and Saul of Tarsus breathing threats and murders against Jesus finds out who he is. And sometimes those the most zealous, the most verbal, the most ugly in their antichrist language are kicking, did you see verse 14? Kicking against the goads. Jesus Christ tells us that Paul was under conviction, Saul was under conviction. It's hard for you to keep kicking against the goads, an imagery of an ox kicking against the sharp sticks that were trying to prod him to go the right way. And Saul was under conviction, and we don't know for how long, but we know he met the risen Christ. And this is the third time in Acts that we've heard his conversion, chapter 9, chapter 22, chapter 26. I mentioned earlier that Galatians 1, 1 Timothy 1, Paul gives his testimony, Philippians 3, 5 or 6 times in the scripture. And this is an opportunity for him to give his testimony, just like Jesus said it would be. It'll give you an opportunity to bear witness. And so Paul does. And in each case, we learn something a little different. But I want you to know that the persecutor becomes the disciple. And the emphasis here before Agrippa is not so much the conversion. I mean, don't misunderstand me. But we've already seen it twice, and I'm going to emphasize what I believe the text emphasizes. And it is an amazing conversion, and it is a mind-blowing conversion. But the emphasis, as he speaks to Agrippa, is his commissioning. His commissioning, verse 16. This Jesus, whom he says, who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. The Lord of heaven said, arise, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you've seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. Consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first, and also to Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. I want you to just notice with me, right in the heart of that commissioning is a very significant statement, verse 18. But we'll come back to that. I want you to notice with me this commissioning that the risen Lord gives Saul of Tarsus. Arise, verse 16. Stand on your feet. Wow, this is an intentional parallel to Old Testament prophets. Paul was saved to serve. Every Christian is. It's a pattern for us. We are saved to serve. Just listen to Titus. Paul, I should say, really, when I say Titus, but Paul writing to Titus, he gave himself for us, speaking of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. When Jesus saves someone, he puts them into service immediately. We are saved to serve. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. I quote the precious gospel of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, which we ought to glory in, and we do. By grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. If you come to Christ today, you come with nothing in your hand, like the old song says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You come with nothing to offer him but sin. You are not saved by your works. But then he says immediately, you are his workmanship, his poema. We get our word poem. Every believer is to be his workmanship, created, verse 10, in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, that's true of every believer, but look at it here with Saul, because he says, stand on your feet. Boy, I couldn't help but think as I read this and mulled it over of the two exilic prophets that I'm most familiar with. There's more than this, but I think of Ezekiel and Daniel. And I want you to turn there. Turn to Ezekiel, because Ezekiel, I said this is, I believe, intentionally parallel to Ezekiel's commissioning. Turn to Ezekiel 1, and he sees the magnified, the glorified. He sees the Lord in his glory, chapter 1. And I won't go into detail except to just glance at verse 28, the last verse. The appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell on my face. When Ezekiel saw the Lord, even just the likeness of the Lord, he fell on his face. And I heard a voice speaking. Then he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, that I may speak to you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me, son of man, I'm sending you to the sons of Israel, to a rebellious people. And he gives him his commissioning. Stand up, Ezekiel. And then he raises him up, because Ezekiel is blown away by who he's talking with, who this voice is, that he's seen this image. And he says, stand up, Ezekiel. I'm sending you to my people Israel. And Ezekiel was to have a ministry to the Jews in exile. Look over at Daniel. Turn over to Daniel 10. Daniel 10, a contemporary of Ezekiel, a little bit later, but probably crossed paths in the sense of chronologically. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel. In those days, verse 2, I, Daniel. And then he gives a description of this message that he received from the Lord. I'll skip down to verse 7. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. I was on the road to Damascus, and I saw this vision. The men who were with me didn't see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. The glory of the Lord was real. But it was to Daniel this commission was given. So I was left alone, verse 8, and saw this great vision. Yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength in the presence of the Lord. He was just wiped out. The blood drained right out of his face. I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He got up as far as his hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Arise. Stand up. Saul was rightfully blown away. The pallor in his face had gone. He was trembling, no doubt. The others saw the stuff, but they didn't get the impact of it. on this road to Damascus. But King Agrippa, I'm telling you, he commissioned me. Now look at our text in Acts 26. Arise, verse 16, stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness. Every one of us who know Jesus Christ are called to serve and witness, just as Saul was. And then he gives him the great gospel in verse 18. I'll come back to that in just a moment. But he says to King Agrippa, consequently, verse 19, consequently, King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem and then throughout all the regions of Judea. I am sending you, verse 18. Verse 17. I'm sending you, King Agrippa. I didn't prove disobedient to that commission. I am declaring the gospel. I can't help but say, we've been sent. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Don't be disobedient. Begin to declare the gospel with your life and with your lips. Paul did. Fathers, don't be disobedient. Train up your children in the way they should go. Declare to them the gospel. Teach them the gospel. Write it on the family room walls. Write it on your forehead. You know what Deuteronomy says? Teach these things to your children, parents. And proclaim these things to our world. What things? Well, I'm out of time. But look at verse 18 with me. The gospel, Paul fully declared. It's a full declaration to Agrippa of what Jesus told him. This fivefold declaration of what the gospel does, of how the gospel delivers, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died in your place and rose again on your behalf. When you embrace the gospel, it delivers. Notice verse 18. Study it this week, and we'll look at it next week as we continue in this chapter. It, first of all, opens blind eyes. Secondly, it delivers from darkness to light. Thirdly, from the dominion of Satan to God. It brings, fourthly, forgiveness. The only place you can find forgiveness is at the feet of Jesus. And it grants, notice, an inheritance among those who've been sanctified by faith in me. There's two kinds of people in this room. If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, flee to him. Satan blinds your mind. I know. The Bible says so. We're going to look at that. Jesus will set you free from that blindness. Come to me, he said. You come to Jesus Christ, and I can't explain it, but I can tell you this. You will start to see the beauty of Christ, who was once maybe just a blasphemous epitaph to you. He becomes your precious Lord and Savior. And you're delivered from the darkness of this world to the light. And every movie and every preview and all the world around us, we understand the darkness and light. And Jesus is the light of the world. And when you come to Christ, you're set free from the domination of Satan, the dominion of Satan, to being a subject in the kingdom of God. part of his kingdom. And you'll find forgiveness. Forgiveness. Delivered from the guilt and finding what it means to stand before God clean, without blame, spotless. And what can I say about the inheritance we have? We're children of God. Such we are. Behold, how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. We're his children. We're his heirs. Oh, this is a great gospel. And I plead with you to come to him, this risen Christ. And then the other kind of person in here, and I hope it's everyone, but I doubt it. You already know Jesus. I hope everyone here knows him. Let's you and me, Christian, not prove disobedient to our commissioning. The risen Christ said, go, I send you. Don't prove disobedient, but declare this gospel. Memorize verse 18 and proclaim it. Not everybody will believe it. Agrippa, we'll see how he responded. But that's not our job to worry about how they respond. Our job is to obey the one who said, stand up. And he stood up trembling. And we glory in Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you're going to have to be tough. They're going to have tough foreheads. Your forehead's going to have to be tougher. Chapter 2 of Ezekiel, you know. Or Daniel standing there facing the lions and willing to do whatever it took to proclaim what God had told him. And you and I have that same privilege in a day where the storm clouds are increasingly hovering. It's not popular. And it's becoming less popular to tell the truth. But that's what a witness does. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Father, you are the truth. Your Son said, I am the truth. Your word is the word of truth. Your spirit is the spirit of truth. Oh, thank you that truth liberates. And I praise you for this gospel that you commissioned Saul with, and by extension, and not just by extension, many other places you told us to bear witness to the beauty of what we've found in Jesus. Oh, Lord, I thank you that no one need leave this room without full forgiveness and becoming a fellow heir of Christ. So as we just touch on this amazing gospel, Lord, I pray that it would do its work in our lives. And I pray for each of the fathers here, Lord, that you would keep us walking humbly before you and that we would take our commissioning seriously to lead our families aright and to teach our children of you. We pray in the matchless name above every other name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled Paul Before Agrippa, a message from our study of the book of Acts. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. Now, we're very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We invite you to learn more about it. Continually growing to nearly 25,000 pastors involved throughout 25 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, the Philippines. We've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception back in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland that shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. It's a perfect break in the work week in an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us 1-800-935-3020. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
He sent me to open blinded eyes, to deliver. This message I bring delivers from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan, the bondage of slavery to evil, to the freedom of being a subject of God Almighty, part of His kingdom, and forgiveness, what everybody needs, and you can't find anywhere else. I proclaim forgiveness, he said, and an inheritance, think about it, from blindness to sight, from darkness to light, from bondage to freedom.
Join us again next time as we continue our series from the book of Acts, and Pastor Scott continues the message, Paul before Agrippa. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.